Genesis chapter 24, verse 67. And Isaac brought her to his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. God had planned Isaac and Rebekah's marriage. And Abraham, his father, instructed his servant to go and find a wife for Isaac. And he made all the arrangements, and it's a great chapter because God guided this servant. He just prayed and said, God, you got to show me what to do. How am I supposed to find a wife for my servant's son? That is a big task. And God guided him, led him right to the right place, led him right to the right situation, worked it all out in perfect detail for him. And he brought Rebekah back. Rebekah and Isaac had never dated. In fact, they never saw each other until the day they got married. First time they saw each other was on the day they got married. And what did he say here? He brought her into his mother's tent, and this is the day that they were married, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. He loved her. And, you know, as we think about that, it reminds us of something very important. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Now, love is an action, but love is a choice. And we can choose to love, or we can choose not to love. And we also need to learn to love. We need to learn to love. And Isaac and Rebekah obviously needed to choose to love, but they also needed to learn to love each other. And I'm sure that their love grew as they were married. But they chose to love. It's interesting what a pastor named Jerry Schmoyer made the comment here. And he said, learning to love is like learning a foreign language. It takes time and practice. And I thought that's pretty good. He goes on to say, unfortunately, we don't always work at love. Instead of making an effort to show love to our mate, we act worse to them than to anyone else. We are short, rude, critical, and often withhold love. We treat strangers nicer. In fact, we often treat everyone else nicer than our mate. That's tragic, but oftentimes that happens. Solomon, in writing in the book of Song of Solomon, he told us that love, true love, ought to be a passionate flame in a marital love relationship. It ought to be like a passionate flame, a strong burning flame. In Song of Solomon chapter 8 in verses 6 and 7, we read these words. It says, set me a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. And the coals thereof are the coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. The word contemned means to be despised. What he's saying, therefore, is he's saying that true love is like a roaring fire, a vehement fire, a roaring fire. And he says that it is so hot and so strong and so powerful that the floods of rivers cannot quench it. And the waters of rivers can't quench it, and the floods can't drown it. And he says it's so valuable that all the money that you could possess could not buy it. It would be, you, if you offered all the money in the world for it, it would be like, you got to be kidding. I'm going to take it that for my, what I've got. And that's the idea of what he's talking about there. He's telling us that genuine love is very, very special. Now, how to keep marital love like a roaring fire is what we're looking at here tonight. We need to look at how to rekindle a fire in our hearts, in our marriages especially. But, you know, you young people, as I said, this is something you can learn now, because if you learn how to love a spouse now, it'll help you for years to come to be able to be the person you ought to be and to avoid a lot of heartaches and a lot of problems. So this evening we're going to look at three steps in how to rekindle love's flame in a marriage. First of all, we need to remove the ashes. We need to remove the ashes. When I was a boy, we always heated our home with fire. We always had a wood fire in our home, always. That's the main source of heat in our home from the time I was an infant all the way up till the time I left home. Dad always heated the home with wood. And so I learned as a young boy how to build a fire. Many times I'd have to go out there and build a fire and make sure the house, to keep the house warm. And one of the most important things about a fire like that, especially when you have it in a fireplace or in a stove or a furnace, you've got to regularly remove the ashes. If you don't remove the ashes, they build up and they smother around the fire, and the fire just won't go good because it's smothered by all the ashes around it. So you've got to remove the ashes. So using that analogy, as we look at the thought of a fire in our in the need for love burning like a fire, the first thing we've got to do in order to get the fire burning well is to remove the ashes. Remove the ashes. Now, when we think about this, there's a lot of things that we could list as ashes that would hinder the fire of love in a person's heart. But what, I'll just list off a few that we can look at here that maybe spark our thoughts in the right direction. One of them would be to remove the ashes of unkind actions and words. You know, unkind actions like being rude or harsh or thoughtless or mean or critical. You know, it's like taking a bucket of water and throwing it on a fire. We all have gone camping. When you go camping and you build this campfire, and when you're going to bed at night, it's wise to put the fire out so the wind doesn't come up and blow the ashes and cause a fire in the forest. And so you take a bucket of water and pour it on there, and all hiss and sizzles, and the fire just dies. All right? And that's basically what happens when unkind actions take place in a relationship. You know, when you are in love with your spouse, or you have a love for even you kids with your parents, the love there, if there's unkind words, what happens? It's like friction. It's like the fire goes out. There's no more nice feelings anymore of fellowship. It's like tension because the fire has gone out, and it's like pouring water on the fire, and it's difficult to have a sweet relationship in those kind of situations. But you know, the right thing to do is to humble ourselves and ask our spouse or the other person, whoever it may be, to, you know, tell us when we've been unkind. You know, a lot of times we don't even realize we're unkind. We think, well, me? Unkind? What did I say that was unkind? I didn't say anything unkind. And if, the right thing to do, you know, if there's friction there, ask the other person, did I say something that was not right? Was I unkind? And, you know, a lot of times they'll say yes, and we don't like to hear that, and so we don't want to ask the question. But it's the best thing to do to find out what has happened. If that is true, and then we have had unkind words or unkind actions toward the other person, you know, we've talked about it when we talked about the lesson on forgiveness. The right thing to do is to confess it to God and ask God's help to change, and then confess it to our spouse and ask them to forgive us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, a key verse about our relationships with our spouse and other friends. Ephesians 4, 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God says there's two things we need to do. First thing we need to do is we need to put away all these bad things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all those kind of things that are causing problems. The bitterness and the clamor and the evil speaking. And then we need to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving toward the other person. So these are ways of fixing these problems. So we need to get rid of the ashes of unkind words and actions. Then we need to also get rid of the ashes of selfishness. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Selfishness is very bad for our love. It is hard to have a sweet, healthy, loving relationship when there's selfishness, because selfishness is all about me and love is all about them. You know, I want you to remember the definition of love. If we were to define love, and many of you have heard me define it this way lots of times, love is the unselfish giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. It is the unselfish giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. And that is not easy, but that is what love is. Love is an action. Love is giving myself to meet the needs of somebody else, expecting nothing in return. And the hard part about that is the expecting nothing in return. A lot of times we think, well, I was nice to you and I loved you and you should have at least responded in a nice way. Well, that's not love. Love says, I'm going to do it whether you respond in a nice way or not, because I love you. And they have to deal with whether they respond in the right way or not. But it's true, we like to have them respond in a nice way. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. And chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It seeketh not her own." See, genuine love does not think about self, it thinks about the other person. It is the giving of ourself to meet the needs of another. And so, genuine love is focused on the other person. Selfishness will quench love's flame like pouring a bucket of water on the fire. It'll do it every time. Selfishness will keep it from burning like it ought to burn. So, we need to get rid of selfishness. The third thing that I've got listed here is to remove the ashes of unresolved conflicts. Unresolved conflicts, problems that have come up in the past. And if you don't get rid of those things, they'll come up to haunt you. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So the verse really doesn't apply to what we're talking about here, but the principle does. He said that in Proverbs 22:3, "A prudent man foresees the evil." He sees that there's a problem. He sees there's a conflict and he hides himself. In other words, he goes the other way, takes another route, gets rid of the problem, and that way he is able to deal with the situation. And the simple, though, pass on and they're punished. They walk right into the trouble. Now, if you have not resolved a conflict biblically by forgiving, like we talked a few weeks ago, forgiving comprehensively, repeatedly, and promptly, and permanently, that's where you need to begin. We've got to forgive. See, that's why I preach those messages first. Because we've got to learn to forgive, we've got to get rid of the selfishness, and we need to learn to communicate before we're going to be able to really love like we're supposed to. Because all of that is foundational. And so we need to get rid of these conflicts. You know, one thing that is important for us to remember is that you simply cannot build a fire of love on the coals of conflict. You can't. You can't build a fire of love on the coals of conflict. But on the other hand, true forgiveness works like a fire lighter. And, you know, you think about that. If you truly forgive somebody, what happens? It's like you instantly are just magnetized to each other and drawn to each other in a tenderness that you didn't have before. And it's like a fire lighter. It just bursts into flames if you truly will forgive. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't truly forgive and get it taken care of, and they struggle with their flame of fire and their love. And it's sad. There's one other thing, and like I said, there's probably lots and lots of things that we could add to this list. But another one that I put here is we need to remove the ashes of apathy. Apathy. Apathy is defined as the absence of emotion or enthusiasm. Oh, you know. Oh, yeah. It's you again. Oh, hi. How are you? You know, the apathy, the carelessness. It's like treating your spouse like an old pair of shoes. You know, just, you wear them through the mud and you throw them in the corner and nothing important. But you get a nice new pair of shoes and you polish them and keep them all nice and clean and neat and take care of them and walk around the mud puddle instead of walking through them. And, you know, those are the kind of things. So we treat them special. But when we start treating our spouse like an old pair of shoes, we treat them with apathy. And, you know, God wants us to treat our spouse very special. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. He's talking about having joy, excitement, and thrill to be with your spouse and with that one you love. And so he says that's the way we're supposed to treat them, with excitement and not with apathy. So these are just a few, and you can stop and think about it and ponder it for a while. I'm sure you can think of a lot of other ways that things that will hinder our love flame and that we need to remove the ashes of. Remove the ashes. So the first thing we need to do is remove the ashes that are going to hinder the fire. The second thing we need to do is we need to find the right fuel. Find the right fuel. Again, as a boy, growing up with the fires in the house, or the fireplace and keeping the house warm, I learned that there's lots of different kinds of wood that'll burn. Pine is not a good wood if you're trying to heat your house. Pine is terrible. Because pine has a hot fire, but it's fast. You put a piece of pine in there, 15 minutes later, it's gone. Huh, I'm getting cold again. You know, but you put in some hardwood, you put in some hard jarrah, you put in some hard oak or something of that nature, and it'll burn hot for a long time, burns hot and slow. And so you get a lot of heat out of it, a lot of benefit out of it. So there's a lot of different kinds of wood. And the same is true in our relationships. Just like for a fire, the fuel that burns best for your spouse is probably not the fuel that burns best for you. And one of the things that we need to think of here, and I haven't mentioned this thus far, but it's really important, when we're trying to kindle the fire of flame of love in our relationship, oddly enough, I don't have to focus on cultivating or kindling my fire, I need to focus on kindling her fire. Now, what do I mean by that? If I can stir up her fire and make her so that she is happy and excited and thrilled and enjoying life and enjoying me and we're in good spirits and we're happy, what happens? We're just drawn together like magnets. And so it's not so much about me trying to drum up some kind of a super feeling in my heart to get all syrupy and dribbly toward her. But it's to stir up what she needs. So what we're really talking about here is finding the fuel that will set the other person on fire and make them excited, bring them excitement and joy to their hearts. And there's a lot of different aspects to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife also to also the wife unto the husband." Now the word benevolence here, the definition of benevolence is important that we understand. It means kindness. It also can mean to meet halfway. It means goodwill. So it's showing kindness to meeting a person halfway or coming to join, to meet up with them and to show them goodwill. So God says here that a husband is to show his wife due benevolence, and the wife is to show her husband due benevolence. Now in the context, the primary context that he's dealing with there in 1 Corinthians 7 is talking about intimate relationship with a husband and wife. But you know, there's a lot more to it than that. Because there's a lot of ways that my wife has needs and I have needs that we can meet for each other that have nothing to do particularly with intimacy. And as we think about this, I want us to see here that we need to discover what the needs are in the other person. If you're going to help that other person's love burst into flames, then you need to find out what they need. What can you do to help them? Remember what love is? Love is giving yourself to meet what? The needs of the other person. So you've got to find out what their needs are so that you can give yourself to help them with their needs. All right? So to kindle the flame of fire, of love, we need to find out what the other person needs so that we can provide that and provide that source to get their flame burning, and it will then it will then become a flame that will be helpful to them and to us. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, a verse that is often referred to in marriage counseling type of things, and rightfully so, it says, "Likewise, the husband, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." And he goes on and talks some other stuff. So he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. What does it mean to dwell with them according to knowledge? Well, he's talking about the same kind of things we're talking about here. You've got to know what kind of fire, what kind of source of fuel burns on her fire. All right, what's going to make her excited? What are her needs? What are the things that she needs in her fireplace? You know, what am I supposed to put on her to help her, to meet her needs, to be a blessing to her, to be an encouragement to her, to help her? Instead of thinking about how I can have my needs met, you know, a lot of people, especially in our secular world, when they think of love, love is all about making me feel good. And boy, I like her because she makes me feel good. And so I'm in love with her because she makes me feel tingly all over every time I'm near her. So she's really good. I like her and I love her because she turns me on. That's not love. That's not love. That's lust. Love is trying to meet the needs of the other person. And if we're going to meet the needs of the other person, you've got to find out what they need. And the funny thing is, as I mentioned a moment ago, what I need isn't necessarily what she needs. And so we have a problem. As a man, we think, well, all right, what would a woman need to make her feel you know, really special and make her feel really wanted and all that, you know, she could be. And if I give those things to her, she's going to really feel excited and happy that I've met her need. And so we start thinking of things in our mind that make us feel special. And a lot of times the things that make a man feel special is not at all what a woman does. I mean, in my mind, I wouldn't think of, I wish she'd bring me flowers. or I wish she would just, you know, make me, you know, a nice, you know, a nice special perfumey little gift. That wouldn't excite me. So I've got to stop thinking about what makes me feel good or what would make me happy or what would make me feel loved and think about what would make her feel loved. Because if I'm going to kindle the love, it's meeting her needs, not meeting my needs. And so I've got to focus on what she needs in order to be able to help her instead of focusing on what I need. You know, we need to work with our spouse on these things. We need to work with them to kindle their fire. And if we kindle their fire, we will be warmed by the fire. That's important for us to see. You know, love is giving. And if you give love and the other person is genuinely loved and feels loved, you'll be warmed by the fire as well. You'll enjoy it as well. And so it goes both ways. And so we need to find out what the fuel is, what excites her, or what excites him, whatever the situation may be. And I'm not just talking about intimate things. I'm talking about all kinds of things in life. The needs that we have. And so we could sit here the rest of the evening and list off all kinds of things that are needs and specifics. And that's not my purpose here. You need to work on this yourself. And that's why he says there, and Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That means you're going to have to find out. You're going to have to research. And you young fellas as well. You know, when you start getting ready to get married and you get married and, you know, one of the things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to research. What does this woman need? What are her needs? What makes her feel loved? What makes her feel happy? What makes her feel like, you know, like I'm treating her right? And so we need to study our spouse. Study our spouse. There's two ways that we can do this. The first one is to study our spouse. All right, now, in studying our spouse, we should ask questions like this. What makes them happy? You know, I can't just look at myself and say, all right, what would make me happy and that would make her happy? Well, if I could spend the whole day working out in the shed, you know, and doing something with my woodworking, that'd make me happy. So I'll plan a whole day in the shed with her, you know, have her come out. That's probably not going to make her happy. All right. So I've got to stop thinking about me and I got to think about her. And I got to think, all right, what would make her happy? In my situation, I've had to research this out, dig it out. I know one of the things that makes her very happy, if she can have been rested up and be able to spend some time sewing. She loves to sew. And that would make her happy. So you got to ask, what would make the other person happy? What makes them feel special? What makes them feel special? What do they fear? You know, they need help. Some of the things they need help with is fear. What makes them fearful? Do they fear things or do they fear problems? Do they fear situations? Are they fearing something? What makes them fear? When do they need comfort or encouragement? You know, that's a big one. You know, as a guy, a lot of times we think, ah, grow up. Come on, be tough. That's not what they need. What they need a lot of times is a hug. And we think, a hug? You know, to a guy, that doesn't make as much sense, but that's what they need. And so you ladies, you got to turn it around and think the other way. You got to try to think like a man. What does he need? You know, so it's not just one-sided. It goes both directions. But we need to ask ourselves, what do they need for comfort and encouragement? You know, guys do need comfort and encouragement. Sometimes we're not as open about it and saying, boy, I really need some encouragement today. But a lot of times we do need it. And you ladies need to be aware of that. Then in what ways do they need my help? What ways do they need my help? A lot of times as guys, we're selfish and we don't think about, you know, the needs that they have for help. But a lot of times the ladies need help. And that we need to just look for those ways to help them. And these are ways, and study it out. But you know, you could add to that list, you know, 100 more items on that list of things to do. But study out the other person to find out what their need is. Because remember, love is giving of yourself to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. So you're trying to meet their needs to give them your love. And in order to meet their needs, you got to know what their needs are. It's kind of like, you know, you stop and turn it around. Think about it. Perhaps all of us have been through this a time or two. But when you you have a Christmas gathering. Especially, it's really bad when you have like a school Christmas thing or something like that, and there's no real thought or even much love involved in choosing the gift. And you go and you open this thing and then, what would I want that for? What would I use that for? You ever open a gift like that? I remember different times we'd have school things and somebody'd buy you a gift. Or sometimes they'll even just put a boy on it and you don't even know what it is and you just get one of them. You open it up and think, I would never use this. But you think, what a worthless gift. Because there wasn't any thought to it. But you know, when we are looking to meet the needs of the other person, we've got to ask ourselves, what do they need? Not just, I bought them something, who cares what it is. No, that's not the point. What do they need? What are their needs in their life? Now, I said, first of all, that we need to study our spouse's needs. Second thing we need to do is share your needs with your spouse. You know, the first one, study your spouse's needs, that's pretty easy. But sharing your own needs with a spouse a lot of times is hard. A lot of people have a real difficult time sharing their needs with the other person. And we talked about communication last week. Very important aspect of this is learning to communicate. Tell them what you enjoy and what you dislike. You know, this can be in any kind of facet in life. It can be dealing with intimate things, or it can be dealing with, you know, the color of, you know, the carpet you want on the floor. Talk about the needs. Discuss things. Communicate and talk about things. Then also, thank them when they've done something that you really appreciate. Thank them. This is sharing your needs with them. Thank them. You know, if my wife thanks me greatly for something I did, I need to mark it down. That was something she really enjoyed. That's something that really, that met a need in her life. She thanked me more than once for that one. That one's a big one. I need to remember that. All right, so keep that in mind. Then also, share romantic ideas with them. Now, ladies, you're going to have to work on this for us because us guys aren't very good at this. You know, I'm not very good at romantic type stuff, you know, figuring out romantic things. But the ladies like their, and you know, you need to share with your husband and just say, you know, why don't we do this? I really like that. And he thinks, what do you want to do that for? But guys, you got to keep your mouth shut. And if they like it, then fine. Just go along with them, do it. Have fun with it. But you know, these share your ideas, share your thoughts. Because we don't think alike. See, this is, if out of this point here on finding the right kind of fuel, if you don't catch anything else, just remember that guys and girls don't think alike. We don't think alike. And just what I think would be good and special and perfect doesn't necessarily mean she's going to think the same thing. So I got to turn off my gears and think about what she would want. And that's why I've got to study her. I've got to study what she thinks, what she wants, and what she's interested in so that I know how to meet that need. Because if I try to meet her needs the way I would want my needs met, I'm probably not going to meet her needs. And it works the other way around. You ladies got to do the same thing with your husband. And so we work together at these things to try to meet the needs of the other person. And remember, love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of the other person. Now, the third thing we need to do. All right, so first we've said we need to remove the ashes. Second, we need to find the right fuel. And then third, we need to add fuel continually. Add fuel continually. If your spouse is not adding fuel to your fire, you may find it very difficult to add fuel to their fire. However, you must still fulfill your duty, even if your spouse utterly fails. And that's not easy. It's easy to love someone who's lovable and loves you. It's not easy to love someone who's ornery and unkind and uncaring and selfish. And it's not easy. But God tells us that we have a responsibility to add fuel to the fire, and we've got to meet their needs. Remember, we're trying to build them up and provide and meet their need and fuel their fire, whether they fuel my fire or not. And that is something very, very important. Now, I've listed here three different ways, or maybe I should say three different times, or three different events in which we can fuel the fire continually. Number one is this. Add some new fuel each day. You know, you think about a fire. If you've got a campfire, we've all sat around campfires, and you sit around that campfire, what do you have to do? Well, periodically, you have to just, you know, every few minutes, you add a little bit of wood or push it in a little bit further and grab some more sticks and put it on. You know, you had to add a little bit continually. And there, again, I'm just going to, you know, give you some ideas here. There's loads of things you could make a long, long, long list, and it might not be a bad idea to do that. But some things you need to add regularly. For husbands and wives, important that we share hugs and kisses. That's just some basic fuel for the fire. Just some basic fuel. And then to say daily that you love each other. You know, that seems so simple. And when, you know, a newlywed couple or a couple that's getting ready to get married, every time, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And after we get married, you know, I forget all about that. But it's important that we say that, because we should say it from our heart, not just repeat the words. But then also compliment your spouse. Say kind and good things about them. Pray with your spouse and pray for your spouse. I do small kindnesses for them. Small little things that you know they would appreciate. That goes a long way. Before doing something for your own pleasure, think of something that you can do that your spouse would enjoy or appreciate or need. That's not easy, but it's something very important. And I'm not the greatest at that, but I do try. You know, I think, all right, I've got my work done, got an hour before we eat, and what am I going to do? You know, I could go do those kind of things I'm thinking I'd like to do. What would she need? Oh, yeah, she needs that. Well, okay, I better do that, because that's really needs to be done, and it would please her, and I'll go take care of that first. And then if I get any time left, I'll go off and do what I wanted to do. And it's not just that I'm trying to be, you know, I'm a slave, I gotta do what I gotta. No, it's because I love her, I wanna show her I love her. And meet those little needs. And so think of your spouse before you think of yourself. Then your spouse may enjoy things like notes or text messages or phone calls or little gifts or whatever. You just need to discover what their needs are. Discover what their needs are. Everybody's needs are different. And so you've got to figure out what they are and meet those needs, those little things, every day. Then secondly, add extra fuel when you see special needs. Extra fuel when you see special needs. You know, memorize your spouse's needs. You know, think about this. If you've done your homework and you've gone over and you try to figure them out and you know, all right, they have these kind of needs. This is what they really enjoy. This is what they really like. This is what really excites them. This is what makes them happy. This is what makes them feel fulfilled. They got these needs for emotional things or whatever it is. And you've got to, and then memorize those kind of things in your mind so that when something comes up and you see, that was one of those things that they really need, provide that need. Meet that need in some way, whatever it is, whether it's just helping out with something or being a special encouragement or just being a blessing in some way to meet that need in their life. And when your spouse has those needs, do all that you can to try to meet those needs. Then number three, the three way, I said, first of all, add some fuel each day, some new fuel. Then secondly, add extra fuel when you see a special need. And then thirdly, add special fuel periodically. Periodically. You know, there needs to be some times every now and then when we plan special things together. We plan a special outing. It might be going away for a weekend, or it might be doing something special, or it might be going out to eat, or it might be just having a date, or it might be, you know, taking her to the material shop, you know, whatever it is, you know, just do something special for them and with them. But plan those things. And it doesn't need to be something you're doing every day or every week even, but just plan some special things, because they're kind of highlights that'll just kind of pile up the wood and get the fire going hot again and just build the love there. And so all of these things are ways of meeting needs in our relationship to build the love and to fuel the love. And there's lots and lots of other things that could be listed here. And as I said before, these lists are generic. You need to study out your spouse and find out what their needs are and provide their needs, because love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. Giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. So rekindling the fire is all about rekindling the fire for them, finding out what burns on their fire, what is the best thing for them that'll flame up their fire, build up their fire so I can meet their needs. And as they're pleased and feel loved, the warmth of their fire will come back to me. Now, they may love in return, and they may be stubborn and mean and not love in return, but that is not your problem, that is their problem. And we need to do our part to meet their needs and to do what we can to build up that love in our relationship. Remember, love is giving. And as you light their fire, you'll be warmed by the flame. You know, when we think again about the campfires that we've all sat around, it's fun to sit around a campfire and to gather the wood and put it in the fire and build up the nice flaming fire. And especially when I was a boy growing up, when it was snow outside, you didn't have to no worry at all about fire catching on something else. So you could build as big a fire as you wanted. And we used to build some huge fires, you know, when we had lots of wood or lots of brush to burn. And we would just keep piling on. It would just be, man, this huge fire. And it would light up the whole area. And it was a lot of fun and just building these fires. But, you know, as much joy and excitement we can get, especially us guys, in building fires, you know, we need to think about the greater joy there is in keeping the fire of our marriage love flaming hot. And we need to work at that. And it takes work. And as I said at the beginning of the message, you young people that are still single yet, a lot of this you might think, oh, that was boring. Well, think about it. It shouldn't be boring, because one day you're going to want to know these things. One day you're going to need to remember, hey, love is not about what I can get. Love is about what I can give. And if you remember that, it'll be a great help to you. Love is giving. Love is not getting. Getting is lust. Giving is love. And we need to remember that if we're focused on getting, it's the wrong kind of love. Real love is focused on giving. And you know, you young people can do that with your brothers and sisters, with your moms and dads. You can love by giving, meeting needs, helping out, being loving toward them. And you know, even as we turn this around, just as a little bit of an application just before we close, for you young people, you know, you need to think, all right, mom and dad, what needs do they have? What can I do to be a blessing to them? What could I do to build up the flame of love in our family relationship? You know, there are things that mom and dad might really enjoy. Maybe dad would enjoy just, you know, you sweeping out the garage. Or maybe mom would enjoy you picking up your room or taking care of your clothes that are piled up all over or whatever. Whatever it may be, you know, that they would appreciate. Think about those kind of things. So it works. See, if you work at it now when you're young, it'll make it a lot easier when you get married and are older. And then you'll be able to have a better love relationship when you are thinking about meeting the needs of the other person.